That's for all you traditionalists out there, including me. I love that song. We're going to be talking about God's Word today, amen, as we always do, but we're specifically going to be talking about how we should be hungry for God's Word, amen. So grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back in Arizona. It's actually colder here than it is in Washington, D.C., just so you know. So they had the hottest season ever over there, and I guess we brought the heat with us in more ways than one. But it was a good trip, and we're glad to be back with you guys. Amen. How many of us were here for Pastor Rolf's sermon last week? Amen. A lot of us?
Amen.
I know you were. I heard the recording. I know you were. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come to you with open hearts and ask that you just open our minds as well, Lord, to receive your word, to receive your power, and to receive your blessing, Lord, in everything we do. We thank you for the reminder today, Lord, that we should always be hungry for your word and always studying. Constantly, because the more we study your word, Father God, we know the more strength we receive and the more hope we receive. And so we praise you for that. We praise you that your word is the inerrant word of truth. And may we live by your word forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so my sermon title is Hungry for the Word, right? And that's exactly what these Bereans were that we're going to preach about today. But before we get to that, I got a confession for you guys. When I was in Washington, I don't know if it was some bad influence or what, but I relapsed over there. Yeah, I picked up a six-pack of Macedonia, my excuse was that it was gonna it was okay because I was gonna be preaching about that, you know, but or that Pastor Rolf was preaching about it, but no, I didn't relapse. I'm just kidding. But I heard Pastor Rolf tell you guys that he drank a Macedonia beer last week, and
what
will make you stronger? That's right. That's right. No, I didn't relapse, but the Lord has made me stronger. You got to be these days. Amen. God's people are hungry. And the empty religionist offers them some ceremony or some empty words that can never satisfy them. God's people are hungry, and the atheists and the skeptics try to convince them that they're not hungry at all. God's people are hungry, and the religious showman gives them videos, special lighting, smoke machines we saw last Sunday at the service we went to, and cutting-edge music. God's people are hungry, and the entertainer gives them loud, fast action, so loud and fast that they forget about worshiping. Amen? God's people are hungry, but who is going to give them the bread of life? Because that's what we need, amen, the bread of life. You see, as Paul and his companions traveled throughout their missions for Christ, some of the people were hungry, and some of them were not. But we'll see in today's text that the city of Berea was a little bit different, okay? A little different than these other cities they had been to, because it says that there were many there of noble character. We're going to talk about that word, noble character. And it says most of them would believe, amen? A little picture, there we are. Look like they're pretty interested, right, in listening to the sermon, huh? Last week, we saw that Paul and Silas were in a city called Thessalonica, okay? And in verses 2 and 3, it says that Paul went into the synagogues as he always did upon entering a new town, right? He went to the synagogues. I'm going to show you a picture of synagogue. We got to go into an ancient synagogue at the Bible Museum over there in Washington, D.C. Matter of fact, that was the first place we stopped, by the way. Thanks to my wife finding it for us. And it says, so they went into a new town to witness, amen, to witness at the synagogue. And for three Sabbath days, He taught them and reasoned with them from God's word, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer. Amen? For Christ to suffer and then to rise from the dead, and that this Jesus that he was proclaiming was the Messiah. Amen? They were the Messiah they were waiting for, okay? You see, in Christ, suffering will occur, and even the Messiah would experience it, is what he told them. Amen? This message had to be delivered, but it was a dangerous message for him to be delivering. And that's what Paul did in Thessalonica. And that's what Paul did in every city he visited. Amen? He'd go to the synagogue and he'd start preaching the gospel. And he'd preach the truth, but then what happens after he preaches the truth? Amen? What would happen to him? It says some responded and some believed. And thanks to Paul's amazing preaching, amen, many people would believe, and another new community of believers was born. A new church would be planted. Amen? Praise God. So the church in Thessalonica was born, and everything was good, right? Well, not exactly, because not everyone believed, right? Not everyone wanted to believe. Not everyone wanted to hear it. You see, not everyone in this world is a believer. We know that. That was true then, and it's definitely true today. Amen? So not everyone lives by biblical values, okay? But don't be deceived, right? Don't be deceived, because God's favor and our salvation depends on our obedience. Amen? On our obedience. Yes, we don't earn salvation, but our obedience is what drives us. Amen? It's what protects us, and it's what delivers us. Praise God. Despite our feelings and our circumstances, we need to be obedient to God's word. You see, not everybody in Thessalonica liked the message that Paul was preaching. It says that some of the Jews were jealous. They went into the city square and they gathered up a mob of men and went looking for Paul. So they weren't happy at all, amen? They went looking for Paul to bring false charges upon him, okay, and try to kill him. Anything to keep him from speaking the truth. And they would even attack others because they couldn't get to Paul. And they attacked this man named Jason, who was a member of the church. But Paul and Silas would escape that mob, and the church would rescue them, and they would live to see another day. Amen? So verse 10, our first verse today, there's that synagogue. That's kind of a drawing of it, but that's the actual synagogue that we visited. I didn't put the real picture up there for... You don't need to know all that, but anyways. The verse says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And on arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Okay, so back to the Jewish synagogue. There it is. The church was protecting them from this angry mob, okay? And they would go, I believe it was 45 miles, okay? They're always walking like 45, 50, 60 miles, right? 45 miles to the west at night to a place called Berea, okay? It's a safe place called Berea, supposedly. And of course, Paul would once again go straight to the synagogue, right? That's what he did. He went straight to the synagogue. Does that pattern sound familiar to you? Of course it does, right? It's the same pattern that Paul would follow in every city. Every city, he would do the same thing. Paul would go to a new city, preach the same message, and even at the end of today's text, we see that once again, the Jews from another city were going to come and stir up a crowd of moderates against them with lies. Amen? They were going to stir up a crowd against them, but the truth would prevail. And some believers would help Paul, and they would help him escape, right? Help them to reach this new city. And it's the same pattern. Coming to town, stirring up the crowd, right? Stirring up some hearts, and then apparently stirring up trouble, right? Stirring up trouble. And then escaping. And they would drive him out of town again and again and again. Same pattern over and over. But Paul was relentless in his witness for Christ. As we all should be. Amen? He was relentless in his witness for Christ. And because the time was short. The time was short then, the time is short now. Amen? He was relentless for his message for Christ. This reoccurring event in the book of Acts is done on purpose by Luke to remind us of two of the great themes of the book of Acts. Amen? That's why this was done. Number one, the church grows mostly through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? We can do a lot of other things to try to grow the church, but the preaching of the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the number one thing that's going to grow the church. Amen? And the church, remember, is all of us. Praise God. Everywhere Paul and the other apostles go, there is preaching about the message of salvation through grace alone. And that grace comes through the death and the resurrection of the Messiah that was, that has been, and that is to come. Amen? And that's the only way to salvation. That faith in Jesus Christ. Paul would preach it's the only way to eternal salvation. And that was a dangerous message for him to be preaching to some of these people in some of these towns. And as they preached this message, people received it, right? People would receive it. Some people would receive it. And the church would be born in that town. But the second point is, there are always people who are going to be opposed to the truth. Amen? There's always going to be people opposed to the truth, whatever that looks like. Not everybody likes the message that there's only one way to heaven and that sinners can't save themselves, right? There's a lot of religions out there that tell you you can save yourself. Amen? But we can't. Only salvation in Jesus through Jesus Christ can save us. Amen? Not everybody wants to hear that you need this Messiah to make you right with God. That's them attacking Stephen for preaching God's word. Amen? And they don't want to hear that Messiah is Jesus. Some people don't want to hear that without Jesus, there's no relationship with God. Right? With the one true God. And in some cases, this opposition brings violence. Just like that picture there. It'll bring violence. And so these themes are repeated over and over again. And by this time, there's something different, okay? There's something different going on. This time, between Paul's arrival, where he starts to preach in verses 10 and 11, and the angry mob that forms in verses 13 and 14, there's an important message in the middle of that. Amen? A very important message right in the middle that was not only written for the initial recipient of this letter, Luke's boss, amen, but it was also written as a message to all of us. Okay? It's a message to all of us. And verse 11 says that now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Right? They not only wanted to hear the word, they wanted to test the word. Right? They wanted to make sure that what Paul was saying was true. You see here, we see here that there's a big difference between the way they received the message in Thessalonica, right, and those other cities, and how they would receive it in Berea, because the Bereans, they say, were of noble character. He says the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. But is this nobility speaking of their social status? A lot of times we think noble means their social status, right, like a noble king. But no, this is speaking of spiritual nobility. Amen? And I'm going to explain to you what that is. Spiritually noble people believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Amen? That this is the inspired word of God. And they're ready to go and do what God commands them. Amen? And everything that God commands us in this book. Amen? And they search the scriptures daily for confirmation of that. Amen? They search the scriptures daily. This was about their actions, okay, rather than their status. Spiritual nobility is more about what we do, amen, than who we are. They were noble in their actions and obviously open-minded to the truth of the gospel message. That was the Bereans. They were people to look up to, amen. They were people that we want to emulate, amen, the Bereans. Matthew Henry said that the Jews in the synagogue at Berea were better disposed to receive the gospel than the Jews in the synagogue at Thessalonica. He said they were not so prejudiced against it, not so peevish and ill-natured. They were more noble, ready to receive God's word, more spiritually noble. These Bereans were noble in the fact that they would give the gospel a fair hearing, right? They were open and willing to hear what God's word had to say. They would hear Paul out, and they would give God a chance to speak to their hearts. So the question is, for us, is how are we receiving the gospel, the message of the gospel, when we're here on Sundays? Amen? Or anytime we hear it. How are we receiving the message of the gospel? Are we listening? Right? Are we skeptical? Have we already made up our mind about whether or not we're going to listen to God's word? Do you believe that this is the inerrant word of God? Do you believe that this is the truth? Yes. Because if you do, you're in the right place. Amen? God's word is central to the gospel. There's no gospel without God's word. Are we being noble-minded in our faith as well? Are we being open-minded to receive God's word and God's blessing? Are we willing to be taught and receive God's word just like the Bereans? Right? That's the question. Because God's word is true if you believe it. God's word is true also whether we believe it or not. Amen? Human unbelief cannot alter the character of God. I love that. We can't, right? God's word will change you if you let it. If you let it. Free will. Amen? Free will. The people of Berea would show their noble spirituality as Paul would explain the gospel message. They were all ears. Amen? They were all ears. They wanted to hear the truth. He told them that Jesus came and lived a perfect life. That was the truth. That he never sinned or broke the law of God. That was the truth. That he willingly went to the cross as if he had broken the law. We know that to be the truth as well. Amen? But why did he go to the cross as if he broke the law? Right? He went in the place of us. Right? He died for our sins. That's the truth. That is the truth. So that we can have eternal life with the Father. But we have to be noble-minded to receive that truth. We have to be. Because if we've already made up our minds against God's word, remember, the devil's a liar. Amen? And the Holy Bible is the true, inerrant word of God. Paul had recounted what Jesus did and what was done to Jesus as well when he preached. He talked about how they tortured him and how they allowed him to be buried in a tomb. But he also told them how God raised him from the dead. Amen? God raised him from the dead, giving him victory over sin and death forever. So that anyone who repents and trusts in their Savior can have eternal life. Amen. Maybe he read some of these scriptures, huh? I'm going to read, because he would refer back to Old Testament scriptures so they would relate to him. Amen? Just like we do when we're preaching, right? And maybe he read this one to him. Psalms 22, verses 16 through 18. Says, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. We know who he's speaking of. Amen? He's speaking to David about Jesus. Amen? Jesus. This is about Jesus. And that's the kind of scriptures that he would be reading to him. Amen? To these people so that they could relate to it. Said, look, these are the scriptures you read every day in a synagogue. This is God's word, right? This is God's word telling you what I'm telling you. Amen. And Isaiah, the whole chapter really 53, but verses 4 through 6 it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. These are the scriptures that he would read to them. so that they would believe. Amen? And so Paul was talking in their language, Hebrew, okay, about something that they could relate to, something they could believe in, their Old Testament scriptures. And in turn, they were listening with noble eagerness, ready, willing, and able to receive this word from Paul. The Bereans had shown themselves to be spiritually noble by their eagerness to be taught about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so should we. I pray that we as a church could be like these Bereans, amen? Hungry each day for God's word, to have this kind of spiritual nobility. It's a great thing, amen? Spiritual nobility. Will we have our eyes and our ears open to receive and believe what God has to tell us today? I hope so. Amen? Because He's got a lot to tell us. Because no matter how long we've been believers, we should be ready to receive that message. Right? No matter how long. Study it, meditate on it, and proclaim it ourselves. Right? Whether we're baby Christians or been here for 100 years. Amen? No one ever regrets studying God's word. No one ever says, oh, I regret studying God's word. Amen? And speaking of studying God's word, our old buddy Charles Spurgeon said one time, he said, out of curiosity, an agnostic who belonged to what is known as the Hellfire Club attended a service where George Whitefield was preaching. And at the next meeting of their club, right, the young man began to ridicule the evangelist Whitefield that he had listened to before the other members, right? He was repeating Whitefield's words and he was mimicking him, right, making fun of him and his gestures and everything. And about halfway through the speech, though, to his friends, he stopped abruptly as the Holy Spirit started to convict him by his own words. And Charles Spurgeon said, responding to the message he had been repeating so flippantly, he confessed his sin and opened his heart to Christ right then and there. Needless to say, the meeting was quickly adjourned, and that young man became a zealous witness who led many others to Christ. God's word will change us when we hear it and when we speak it, apparently. Amen. We are never too young, though. That's the point. We're never too young or too old to study the scriptures. And regardless of our backgrounds, right? Maybe we're a member of some kind of club like that. But regardless of our backgrounds and education, the scriptures are never beyond our ability to study and put into practice in our lives. It doesn't matter where we came from or where we've been. Amen? God can change us. We should all be eager to study and receive the Word of God just like the Bereans were. I hate to keep pounding that in, but that's the truth. Amen? And so it says the Bereans were going to listen. They took notes, I'm sure, and examined the Scriptures daily. They were all in. They were spiritually noble. You see, God, who inspired Luke to record this and write this, wants all of His believers, all of His people, amen, believers and non-believers, to act like the Bereans did. Amen? To be willing and open to the truth of God. God wants us to study the Scriptures and test everything that is taught to you about the gospel. Knowledge is power, and the truth is what sets us free. Amen? So test it. We're going to talk about that. And this is the truth. Amen? That's the Geneva Bible, right? We got to see that too over there where the actual Bible was there. So praise God. We did. I'm going to do a PowerPoint presentation for you guys. I'll put one together maybe for next week. But from the 1600s, amen, or 1500s, God's word has stood the test of time for over 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years, and it is true. It has been scrutinized by many unbelieving scholars and many false prophets, but God's word still holds true. People all over earth are reading this book, okay, in thousands of languages. It's the number one bestseller of all time, right? They read this in thousands of languages to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ and salvation through faith in Him. We must be hungry for God's word, just as the Bereans were, because it says in verse 12 that as a result, many of them believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. It seems their study came to a conclusion. Amen? And the conclusion was that Paul was telling the truth, right? They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They came to the conclusion Paul was telling the truth. Paul had nothing to fear from these Bereans because he spoke the truth to them, right? When you speak the truth, you got nothing to fear, amen? And so should, you know, so should your pastor, right? Speak the truth. So should your small group leaders. Speak the truth. Any Christ-centered ministry leader, for that matter, should be speaking the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, amen? We should want, and as leaders, we should want you to test our words. Amen? We want you to ask questions. We want you to believe as well, because we could be wrong too. Amen? There's times when we're wrong. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Amen? Except Jesus Christ, right? Nobody's perfect. So, you know, if we welcome correction. If you guys ever have any questions about anything I preach or anything I proclaim, ask. Amen. We welcome correction because the ultimate authority isn't the preacher and it isn't the leader or the teacher. It's the Lord Himself. Amen. Right? The Lord Himself and God's Word. His Word is always true. So the point is to be a Berean type of Christian. Receive God's message with more eagerness and spiritual nobility. Read the Scriptures more to test the Word you hear. The more we read the Scripture, the more we know God's Word, the more we know we're listening to the truth. Amen? And when you have a question, of course, ask, okay? But always remember the final authority is the Lord Himself. Amen? And so because of this great teaching and many conversions, the Word got out, okay? The Word got out around Thessalonica. And it says here in verse 13, when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join them as soon as possible. The word and the message were so great that people were coming to believe. Praise God. Amen? People were coming to believe, and word spread all around that area. Word spread to Thessalonica. So they sent a team, okay? They sent a team out there to stir up people against Paul. Amen? To stir people up against them. It wasn't enough that they ran them out of Thessalonica. Right? They went and followed him 50 miles so they could run him out of Berea as well. Right? That's how much they hated him. Right? It seemed Paul was irritating their demons even from 50 miles away with no internet. Right? No social media. 50 miles away. They had so much hate for the gospel message, they would travel by foot, mind you, right? Again, to agitate the crowds and stir them up against Paul and his brothers. Now remember, this was the fifth city that Paul had been run off from, okay? The fifth city, okay? Was it because he was a bad preacher? No, it was because he was a good preacher, right? Right? Because he was a good preacher, like Pastor Rolf. You are, Pastor. I love you. It's because he was a good preacher. Sometimes when you're doing the right thing for the kingdom of God, your confirmation is that people are going to try to stop you. People are going to try to hinder you. People will even curse you. Amen? So don't be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. Stick to the truth of God's word. You never know whose demons you may irritate, but stay true to God's word because God will protect you and his church. Amen? And so right in the middle of his sermon, they start trying to push Paul away. And verse 14 says, they would immediately get Paul out of there, right? Let's get him out of here. You know, that Paul's probably like ready to fight, right? And they're like, no, you got to get out of here. Notice it says that Silas and Timothy would stay there though, okay? As Paul was being led away, he says, you guys stay here. you guys stay here and develop the church. You guys run the church for me. Once again, he's leaving, right? He's leaving people that he trusts behind with the new church. Amen? He had left Luke in Philippi, and now he's leaving Timothy and Silas in Berea as he travels himself to Athens. Okay? He's leaving his trusted disciples to take over these cities. Amen? This shows how important discipleship was to Paul and the early church. Okay? Discipleship was very important and still is today. Amen? It still is today. You see, conversion is the first step and very important step, right? To have somebody converted. But discipleship must come next. Discipleship must come next because God's got a job for all of us. Amen? Discipleship is about going deeper and further in our work for Christ. Paul wasn't just worried about nickels and noses. Paul was trying to build a kingdom on earth. Amen? A kingdom on earth. Paul wanted to teach them to not only be followers, but to be leaders as well. Right? To be leaders. A true teacher of God's word is always trying to grow disciples. There's a bunch of disciples right there. Amen? Remember that day? That was a wonderful day, wasn't it? That's what we're talking about. Amen? It's not just conversion, but growing disciples. Amen? As a church, we should have a great passion for bringing others to Christ. It's amazing to see God change and restore our lives, isn't it? It's amazing. But we should also have a passion for bringing others to a maturity in Christ that's going to bring them to a point to where God will do amazing things through in and through them. Amazing things for His kingdom. As mature believers, we should always be witnessing and discipling others. Paul had discipled Luke, Silas, and Timothy and knew they were ready for leadership. He said, "You're going to stay here. I know you're ready." Maybe today you're the one who's ready for leadership. Amen? Maybe today it's you. And maybe God's ready to use you in a mighty way as well. But whether that's today, tomorrow, or 10 years down the road, we have to stay hungry for God's word. Because when we do that, God will prepare us. Amen? He'll prepare us for great and wonderful things in His kingdom and for His kingdom that is to come. Stay in God's word. In next week's text, Paul's going to head to the next city, and he's going to do it again. Amen? He's going to do it again, but with a much different approach, okay? Much different approach this time. And that's it. You know, that's the message. Be a Berean. Amen? Be a Berean in your faith. Study God's word. And God will strengthen you, use you, and heal you completely. Amen? So God's word and God's peace be with you, and let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message, and we thank you, Father, for the strength you give us to stand in your word and for your word in everything we do, Father. We thank you that you have great plans for us. That you have great patience with us as well, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for every healing. We thank you for this word that teaches us that that there is nothing on earth more powerful than the truth of your word. And we just lift up all those who are struggling in their faith right now, all those who may have left the church, all those who are struggling with anything spiritual right now in their lives, Lord, we just pray that you give them strength, speak to them in ways only you can, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for amazing grace and for our amazing family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Before we start the prayers of the people, I want to say a prayer for the veterans. I want to ask that any veterans or family of veterans, if you're able to stand, if you could please stand and I want to say this prayer for you guys. Amen. If you're a family of veterans or a veteran yourself, we want to say a prayer for you. So, and thank you for your service. Amen. Happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service. Dear Lord, we know that freedom isn't free, and a special few pay the price for many. We owe a debt of gratitude to all the courageous men and women who have served and sacrificed to protect us and our freedoms. Today, as we remember our veterans, we ask you, Lord, to bless each one and meet their every need. We pray that they will know how valued and respected and appreciated they are. Lord, please bless their families for their many sacrifices as well. We ask for your protection over all who are serving now and ask you to bring them home safely. We also ask you to comfort all those who are missing someone who has served. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Thank you, everyone.